is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it. In this week's episode, I bring on my dear friend, Martin Sines. Martin is the founder and CEO of a $50 million real estate income fund known as BeQuest Fund. Join Martin and me where we discuss how he made millions in the mortgage space and how you could do it too. You don't want to miss it. Plus, you're going to want to listen all the way to the end where Martin opens up and reveals his opinion on the three key areas you need to look for when investing in private funds, bringing us all just a little further in our pursuit of making billions. Here we go.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have one of my dear friends, Martin Sines. Martin is the founder and CEO of a $50 million real estate income fund known as BeQuest Fund. Now, what this means is Martin has found a way to do millions of dollars in deal flow within real estate and mortgages. He's going to come on the show. He's going to tell us everything that he's doing, how he got there. So for those of you that are just starting out, you're going to want to hear how Martin started in this sector as well. He's going to talk about what he does. And then hopefully in the end, if he's polite and I ask nicely, he's going to tell us a few tips that he has that he's going to let us know on things that he has done where he can look back and say, here's the things that I wish I knew. Here's some secret hacks or whatever we want to call it. But before we get into that, Martin, my man, welcome to the show, brother.
Ryan, thanks for having me on. It's just an honor to kind of spend this time with you, and shout out to the Making Billions community and for spending this time with us.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thank you so much. We've got fans around the world. We're getting fan letters and all these wonderful things, and it's all because of phenomenal guests like you and like everybody else that's come before you. So thank you so much for adding your light to this bonfire. We're talking about private deals, private equity, venture capital startup. We're talking about a lot of stuff. However, what I do want to talk about is you. And my understanding is you've had quite the interesting journey. I mean, there's Pentagon, there's museums. I don't want to steal it, but it was a very cool journey. As you were finding your footing and growing your business, I'm sure fans around the world would love to know, where did it start for Martin?
Sure. So after getting my MBA in 2001, I went out and received a corporate job like any good MBA would do. And what I found is corporate America just wasn't a fit for me from a value perspective, from a productivity perspective, and just a number of other reasons. And I only made it a few years, and actually we mutually parted ways, and my wife and I said, we can never do this again. It's just not a fit. So we needed to figure this out and do a business for ourselves. And so that's exactly what we did. We put together a lot of idea generation, and we stumbled upon founding a museum exhibit display company in the DC area, selling directly to the federal government on a prime level.
Awesome. And where did it go? So you're this museum exhibit company, you're finding your footing. You just had that entrepreneurial bug. And so you found a way, you closed some deals, you worked with contracts. Maybe walk us through that and where it went from there.
Yeah, so it went south actually for about 3 years in the negative. We could do a whole podcast on making payroll the day of. With ending with me crying in the parking lot. So we could go there, but we'll keep it on the positive. I think that anybody that wants more than what they currently have, if anyone wants to have control over the income in their lives, they're going to have to go through some journey where they're hitting some pain points to make it to the other side, where because all of it's hard work at the end of the day. And that's what we found with a small business. However, with the stick-to-itiveness and the perseverance, the hard work, and so forth, we started landing government contracts. The Pentagon was our largest contract. And what we found is, because we went right to the top and we found work within the top agency of DOD, the top leadership building within DOD. We became good enough for every other federal entity, every other DOD facility. And so it paid off. And what we kind of said along the way is that we're not going to settle for crumbs. We're not going to settle for selling to small businesses. We're not going to settle for being a tier three player on a contract. We want to be direct with the end user and sell to the largest buyer of goods and services in the world, which is the federal government. And yeah. And so that just kind of started our journey, and we started buying real estate in a few years later in 08, 09, and that kind of mm-hmm. started our landlording journey as we were growing that museum business.
Wow. And then my understanding is you exited a little bit on that deal. You were able to somewhat come out of that unscathed, even though you're crying in the parking lot. You managed to get an exit for a few million bucks, and then you got into mortgage note investing, correct?
Yes, absolutely. But they were tears of joy, for the record, because I actually received a check in the mail an hour before payroll was due on a Friday. And so the check covered payroll. And so I was able to pay my team, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do. And so it was a mixed emotions. And, my wife remembers me saying, like, you know, maybe we just need to get a job. Maybe you just need to quit. And, thank goodness for, I had let her know that, and she said, no, we need to see this through. And that's where good partners, good accountability partners mm-hmm. are, and what they can do for someone, regardless of entrepreneurship, investing, and all that. It's just you need some good voices in your ear as you're kind of going through things. But with mortgage note investing, after we sold our government contracting company in 2013, and I made a decision at that point, and the decision was to not work so hard for my income. Yeah. Income, because when you're working, small business ownership, federal government sales, what have you, there's a lot of stress that comes along with the income that you receive, as lucrative as it may be. And so I said, we want income that's more passive. I'll actively engage in activity to obtain it, but it just needs to come with less stress. And right. the other thing is, my wife and I, we wanted to be more of service to society. We wanted mm-hmm. to produce a good or service that just would have more of a positive impact in the world that we live in. And therein lies, what kind of 2 months after we sold the company, I was at a real estate investor group and ran into a mortgage note investor, and it's just the clouds parted at that point, and I was hooked.
Yeah. So mortgage note investing, you started there, you made a few bucks, and I looked you up, man. You've got books on Amazon. I mean, you really embraced this moment in your career, as you should, and it's paid off very well for you, I would say. Maybe walk us through that the book you wrote and bring us up to current time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been it's just been a spiritual journey, and so. Before, earlier in the days, it was just about making as much money as possible, accumulating as much assets as possible. And so it was just superficial. And I lacked humility. I lacked, these grounding elements that you need in your life. And when we sold the company, I was stressed. I was as stressed out of my mind at that point. And I found a relationship with God at the point. Mm-hmm. So, that was kind of a turning point. So I began now looking less in terms of physical things, material things, and just looking more inward, like what satisfies me and how can I be of service to other people around me? And the beauty is that in mortgage note investing, I started the career buying distressed mortgages. And right. oftentimes you have two options when you buy a distressed mortgage. And these are mortgages where the homeowner hasn't made a payment in a few years. You can go and put the smack down on them with, you know, through legal means and foreclose and displace a family and obtain the property for resale purposes or some other exit strategy purposes. And you'll make out money. You'll make out well. Good capital gains play. People 2X, 3X their money within a year. Or you can go and work in a very compassionate way to connect with the homeowner, find out where they are today, find out what they can afford. You purchase the thing at a discount so you can make some concessions and figure out a midpoint to come to with the homeowner to create a loan modification, some type of creative plan that helps keep them in their home while creating a cash flow stream for yourself as an investor. And it's a longer play, but I'm not going anywhere. So I look at like being able to help a homeowner and then creating a 20, 30 year cash flow stream for myself and my company. And everybody wins, including the neighborhood and the macroeconomic, you know, state of real estate as well. So it's just been very humbling, and it's just been an exciting journey from that standpoint.
Yeah, incredible. So you went from museum exhibits and, you know, tears of joy and selling it for a couple million bucks, and then in mortgage investing and writing books on, I believe it was an Amazon bestseller in its sector, correct?
Yeah. So fast forward, you know, a few years, I was self capitalizing all my purchases. I handled every phase of mortgage note investing, and I wrote about these phases in the books. There's four phases. There's a sourcing acquisition. There is due diligence. There is asset management and portfolio management. So I was doing all those phases myself. And what it did is it allowed me to learn and also kind of grow from some of the weak points that I had. And what's interesting is I actually don't do any of those phases now today. I raise capital for a living, go figure. But what I felt strongly about is that I had built systems that worked. The business became very profitable after figuring things out over a few years time period. And I felt that I need to share what I know to other people that may want to do this for themselves and start a note business for themselves. So I wrote the books with that intention, pouring my heart out, pouring what I know, the little that I know. And it hit like wildfire. Out of the gate on the first book, Note Investing Made Easier.
Is that what it's called? Note. I was just going to ask you. Note Investing Made Easier.
Note Investing Made Easier. And people read it. My business partner today was one of the first people that read the book, my first book in 2017. And we transacted over time. I mentored him. We did deals together. And then we formalized the business in 2019.
Wow. So I hope for our fans around the world that are listening to this, there's literally a guy with a $50 million investment fund that wrote the book and literally tells you how he did it and how he got started. I'm just saying, like, learn from guys like this. That's why we come to a show like this, is to hear people who've developed stuff. And the fact that you have a book that literally spells out how you did it, I mean, my goodness. So obviously I'm not being paid to endorse the book or anything like that. I'm just saying this is wisdom. If I was on the other side and listening to this, of course, buying these books, listening to, you know, these podcasts and all of these things that you're putting out there, certainly are a way for people to learn from you. So now you've got Bequest Funds. Mm-hmm. You've done well in the book sector. You're teaching people through your books and through personal mentoring. And you know, my understanding is you've got are there sectors that you're focused on, you know, certain cities, or, you know, walk us through kind of current state. What kind of trouble are you making now?
Sure. So, current, you know, fast forward to today, my business partner and I, we operate a, mortgage company that buys distressed mortgages, keeps homeowners in their home. And that's at about 35 million. Assets under management. It's privately owned. There's no investor capital. And yeah. we launched BeQuest Funds, which is an income fund that buys these re-performing mortgages that are back on track and have become re-seasoned. That's the $50 million income fund. And how we were kind of drawn to do that is that over the course of years, we found a lot of individuals that read my books or connected with us for some reason. And they said, look, we're not looking to start a whole note business for ourselves. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm just looking to go and earn some passive income, just like you're doing, but not in an active way. So we said, well, you know, there's a market that we can serve. And that is, these individuals that are accredited, they're starved for additional monthly passive income. We have a very low risk product that we manage and invest in ourselves financially. And so it just was kind of a logical fit that we said, let's go launch this and be of service to the investor community as we help homeowners as well. So it's kind of dual purposed.
Awesome. And I don't know if you're allowed to get into it, but now that you've got this bequest, this mortgage note investing $50 million fund, let's talk numbers. What kind of returns? I mean, what's the performance of getting an investment fund like this or others? Like, bring us into your world.
So let me give kind of the chain of events. So you have a mortgage, because that helps kind of bring perspective with the numbers. You have a mortgage loan that's defaulted. It's purchased into the private fund at a discount, maybe 30, 40 cents on the dollar. We produce a loan modification at par. So now you have a performing asset in your private fund. So from that point, even though the coupon rate on that mortgage may be 5-6%, over a course of time, 12 months, 24 months, it becomes re-seasoned as homeowners make on-time payments. So again, these are initially good homeowners. They're good borrowers. You know, they got a loan at Wells Fargo. They got a loan at PNC Bank. They just ran into some hard time. And so now they're back on their feet. And so once they become re-seasoned, BeQuest Funds, the income fund, buys that mortgage into its fund at an 11, 12% yield. And from that, we receive monthly payments from the homeowners, and we in turn pay our investors out at either a 9% annual pref or an 8% annual pref based on time commitment that the investor's given us. And we make our distribution payments on a monthly basis. So hence the monthly passive income option.
Wow. So a lot, like you said, doctors, lawyers, you know, these well-paid professionals or anybody really, if they're looking for the steady, predictable income, BeQuest Funds is certainly one of those top contenders for people to invest in. You didn't say that. I certainly
didn't. Yeah. Our number one investor is our profile, investor profile, is a successful entrepreneur or successful real estate investor that has worked astronomically hard for their money and now is looking to balance that with some easy times. Yeah. So it's just fascinating. And I love talking to fellow entrepreneurs and real estate investors, but it's kind of funny. It's good because you work, you think like, oh, I'm going to landlord initially, right? I'm going to landlord and then mailbox money will come in. No. Yeah. You got to manage the property manager. You got to self-manage. You got to raise capital. You got to go apply for a damn mortgage, and leverage. And it's just ongoing. And so over the course of time, you're like, this isn't as passive as I thought.
It's feeling a little more active. Yeah. Good times, man. Yeah. Even starting a fund is still starting a business. So you're an entrepreneur as well. But, you put in a lot of work. So it sounds like your ideal investor is literally took the same journey that you did, where they're just like, I need to slow it down a little bit and have a little work-life balance. So yes, the 9% return or whatever it is, providing that fixed income is a little, yes, although that's true, but what you really provide someone is an upgrade to their lifestyle. Again, you didn't say that. I did. I'm just observing what you said is saying like, look, man, we can give you that steady stuff We can improve your lifestyle without disrupting your life. In fact, your lifestyle and your life can get better when you're in the right investment. Would you agree?
100%. There's a statistic out there that individuals that make over $200,000 a year, 36% of those individuals live paycheck to paycheck. And what's misunderstood is that, you know, these individuals, these high income earners, they're all set. They're just wealthy people trying to get wealthier. And when I talk to these individuals, which I do almost daily, a lot of them have zero or close to 0%, zero passive monthly income. And yet at, you know, they're 10 years, 20 years from retirement, and they want to maintain the same standard of living, which requires 20, 30K coming in monthly into their bank account. Yet they don't have a plan to do the math and get them from zero to 30K a month within 10 years. And we do the math with them.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AI is changing the game of business. Will you be on the winning team? I'm Jordan Wilson, the host of the Everyday AI podcast and your coach to help you learn the X's and O's of AI. Artificial intelligence isn't just a new player in the game, it's a new sport altogether. So if you don't quickly put AI into play, your competitors will run up the score. I've spent my whole life building winning teams, from coaching basketball to working with big players like Nike and Jordan Brand. My next move? Helping you win with Everyday AI. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or on everydayaipodcast.com. Let's tap into AI together and put points on the board.
Wow. And unbelievable. So now that you've built that and you stood these things up, let's get into some helpful advice.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are some pointers, maybe some experience now that you're in this seasoned phase of your career, you can look back and say, look, if I boiled it down to some key things that if I could give somebody around the world some universal advice, either on this sector or otherwise, what would you tell them?
It would be first and foremost to take control back of your financial future. And whether you've at some point you've given away control to a financial advisor, wealth management company, Wall Street in some way, take control back. And one of the things that that's important to do is look at the risk factors when looking at any opportunity. So this is not a BQuest specific topic. And the three risk factors that I recommend everyone look at when they consider any opportunity is, first and foremost, who is the operator? And so who is the operator means a lot of things. It means background checks, both criminal and civil. It means the which speaks to the character and integrity of the person that's going to be taking care of your money. And as well as, you know, how are they running the operations? What kind of past performance do they have? And, you know, what kind of metrics do they have in place present day to make sure that there's controls over the operation so that the money, you know, is everything's going to flow how it needs to flow. And also, last but not least, do they have any of their own money in the deal? And that's very important, because there's a lot of fund operators that they can't answer that question or wouldn't want to answer that question. And you want to know. And that goes to saying, like, even if you talk to a financial planner and they're like, oh, buy 100 shares of blah, blah, blah. And then you ask them, well, how many shares do you own personally of blah, blah, blah? And they're like, well, I don't, but I'm telling you, you should do it. Well, that doesn't really that doesn't jive, right?
Yeah, awkward. Yeah.
Capital preservation's number two. And this is, you know, what's the asset class? And one of the intentions when I wrote the book is that I'm speaking to someone who wants to set up a note business, but also to that individual that wants to learn about the asset class, because they may want to invest passively in that asset class. Mm-hmm. So whatever asset class you want to invest in, for passive income or active income or what have you, you should be a student of that asset class, and you should learn as much as you can. You should read books from thought leaders in the space. And so that way you can understand what kind of internal, external factors that could affect the performance of your fund and make sure that your capital is protected and you'll get your money back. It's one thing to get the return, but in other words, you don't want to lose your initial capital investment. And then last but not least, if the operator checks out and the capital preservation risk factor checks out, then cash flow. Does the cash flow meet your financial aspirations in terms of what your objectives are? And that's pretty much the easier one if it passes the first two tests. And what does it pay? How often? And then you can kind of get into velocity of money. I like to look at how many chain links you can put on passive income. So I have monthly passive income coming into myself personally, and then I actually roll that passive income into other passive income purchases on a daily basis. So I do I do daily dollar cost averaging, and so I've been doing that. Plus, I actually divert money into precious metals and other stores of value as well, and I do this all on a daily basis because discipline is just part of like having a discipline approach. But cash flow is very important because it allows you to make those moves.
Yeah, that is incredible. So then you've literally built this cash flow machine that cash flows into other investments. And so naturally this machine just keeps diversifying and having more babies, we'll say. So
yeah.
So as it's incredible. So as we round third base and we take it home, is there anything else you'd like our fans to know, like how to contact you or, anything at all, really?
Sure. I'd like to say I'm just very passionate about, and I recommend anyone who's buying assets that you focus on what level of control you have over the asset, what level of influence you have with the operator, and make sure the investment cash flows. I've never been this whole stock market appreciation buyer. I think so many people, and I think that's driven education-wise in our society, is you put your money in Wall Street. That's how you earn retirement money, and you buy low, sell high, and that's like strategy of hope, in my opinion. Yeah. And you need more of a concrete plan. And so invest in assets that you have an understanding on, that you have some influence with the operators, you have control over, and the cash flow at the end of the day, that's very important. Anybody that wants to reach out to me can email me at martin@bqfunds.com. I actually have, and I was just reviewing this with one of my employees today. We have a 25 person team, and and they want to get their financial house in order. I have a really kick butt financial statement template in Excel format, where I kind of really trick it out with passive and active income. If anyone wants that, they can email me and I'll send that out to them. I don't even care if you care about BeQuest. I'm just passionate about getting this financial statement out to the world because I believe whatever you do, it needs to start with having a living financial statement that you review on a weekly basis.
Wow, that is absolutely generous, eh? First time bearing gifts for our fans around the world. So Martin Steins, everybody, he lives a similar value that I do, is just be generous, help everybody, as much people as you can, however you do that, whether you start a fund, write a book, or just put your arm around someone and say everything's going to be okay, right? We all need those too, especially if you're an entrepreneur. So, in closing remarks, obviously none of this is financial or legal advice or anything. It's just opinion, right? Take it for what it's worth and clarify anything you hear. Do or don't make a decision either way, but don't do it off anything you hear here. Now, that being said, if you do follow Martin's opinion, looking at investments, if you're looking at investing in a fund and I would argue a lot of this is really any investment, but again, that's just my opinion, but figure out who the operator is, who's the man behind the curtain. What are the operations, the controls? Do they have their own money on the game? Like, do they share the risk with you? How does this thing check out? So really understand the people. So things that are outside of maybe the P&L statement. And then capital preservation, understand the asset class. I do remember Warren Buffett saying one of the biggest risks that you're going to face is not knowing what you're doing. So in other words, like if you understand the asset class, you're already halfway there. If you don't understand the asset class, to Martin's earlier point, it's a bit of a risk. So make sure you understand what you're getting into. If you got to bring in legal, accounting, even read Martin's book, it doesn't matter. Just educate yourself and understand what you're getting yourself into. So education is a great equalizer. Make sure you use it. And then finally, like, look for cash flow, man. We need cash flow. So your balance sheet can grow and it looks nice on paper, but at the end of the day, it's cash in your bank account that's going to move things forward. You do these things and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions.
Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.